you in Jesus' name. It's been good to look into the Song of Solomon. You know, God has good things prepared for his children. And God helped me to understand that more and more. This morning, I'm going to title my message, Which Generation of Adam or Christ? There's a well-known book called The Greatest Generation. I have not read it, not seen it, but there is that book, and it describes the generation from the those who were born in the early 1900s, the generation was fought in World War II and went to the moon, and the book was about that generation, and it called it The Greatest Generation. Well, the next generations that followed maybe thought that was not correct. Huh? Was that surprising? And maybe their generation was the greatest generation. And we'll let them decide which one is the greatest generation or whatever, if it actually needs to be decided. I don't suppose that is a very important question, exactly which generation is the greatest generation. Your generation, our generation, will leave its mark, and we want to do what we can to my generation to cause it to be the greatest generation. But I, as an individual, will be part of a generation. I, as an individual, will be a part of a generation. I will be a part of a generation of Adam, or I will be part of the generation of Christ. And that is a very important distinction. And I want each one of us to have our hearts set on being a part of one of those generations. You can open your Bibles to generation, well, I'll read from Genesis 5, verse 1. And it says simply, this is the book of the generations of Adam. That's what it says. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. And so we have this book that is the generations of Adam. It's the tale of the sons of Adam. The story of mankind, our triumphs and our failures, but most of all, of our sin, of our fall, of our bondage. Yes, and its tangled and sorry consequences. We have the story, we have the book of the generations of Adam. The evil reoccurringly plunges us into darkness and devastation. This is the book of the generations of Adam. But now, if we turn back in our Bibles to Matthew 1, verse 1, we have another some more words here, and it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And so here we have another generation described, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And so we have these two generations, the generations of Adam or the generations of Jesus Christ. Adam had no earthly father. He was the Son of God. Jesus had no earthly father either. He was the Son of God also. But Adam, in his hour of temptation, sinned. Jesus, in his hour of temptation, was true to God. He did not sin. He did not fail. And there we have the stark difference between the two generations. And it's hard for us to get a hold of the contrast and to realize the starkness and the reality and the importance and the profoundness of that difference. Adam had sons, grandsons, great-grandsons, etc. Jesus only has sons or daughters. But we can be his sons or daughters. And we can have a future if we choose to make ourselves part of the generation of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, starting with verse 26, here it talks about it. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Here we are. We are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as of you as have been baptized under Jesus, under Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here we see that we can become the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. There can be that change from simply being a part of the generation of Adam. We will always be a part of the generation of Adam. But we can be transferred into the generation of Jesus Christ and be the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is what I hope each one of us is aspiring to be. Which generation? Which generation? Is it going to be, am I going to be a part of the generation of Adam? Or am I going to be a part of the generation of Christ? Turning now yet to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, a number of verses here. Here he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, the Lord from heaven, heavenly. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Here we have the first Adam and the second Adam. We have these two Adams, and the second Adam is Christ. Adam is Christ. But we have these two Adams, and we can be a follower. We can be a follower of the first Adam, or we can choose to be a follower of the second Adam, the last Adam. The first Adam was earthy. The second Adam is from heaven. Yes, he is the Lord from heaven. And he opens up the gates of heaven for us. And so this morning, we are choosing to be a part of a generation. Not necessarily whether it is the greatest generation on earth, but we are choosing to be a part of a generation, either the generation of Adam, who is simply going to live for themselves, or we are going to be a part, or we are choosing to be a part of the generation of Jesus Christ, which has committed themselves to following after God and aspiring to experience a future in the world to come in heaven. He says here, and as they have borne the image of the earthy, so shall they bear, they also bear the image of the heavenly. Where we believe that as we have borne the image of the earthy, this earthly body, Adam, we can also bear the image of the heavenly, of the spiritual body, the future body in heaven, the immortal. But it is also true in that as we follow the Adam and his path, we bear his image also. The ugliness of it, the disconnectedness of it. And as we bear as we follow after Christ, we bear the image of the heavenly, where we allow the heavenly, the graces of God, to make our life beautiful, to strengthen us, to uphold us, and to lead us in good and right ways. So which one are we going to choose? Back in Judges 2, verse 10, it says this: "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." And here we have a generation that was following the Lord, but then they that generation passed on, and there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. That was important as they wrote the words of Scripture. There was a generation which knew not the Lord, and there were consequences that came accordingly. Moses, when he wrote his poem, when he wrote his psalm, he said this in Psalm 90, verse 1, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." All generations. Yes, and Moses understood how that God, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. We are dependent upon him. We need him. We find our strength in him. We find our foundation in him. We find our sustenance in him. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. You are my fount of life. He understood that, and he endeavored to live his life leaning upon him. And when he had to choose between the riches of Egypt and the glitter of Egypt and the prosperity of Egypt, and he had to choose between the gods of Egypt and the God of the slaves and of the children of Israel, he said, I would much rather have the God of those slaves right there than to have whatever the sons of Adam, the generation of Adam, can give me. Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And so we ask the question, what generation do we want to become? We don't want to be only the first Adam, earthy, mortal, defiled, condemned, without God and without hope, do we? No. God has not left us alone. He has come in mercy with life through the second Adam, through Jesus Christ. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We can. Do we? Oh, but that we would have that hope that we can bear the image of the heavenly. We can. We can. Do we want to continue to bear the image of the earthy in this life and in the world to come? No, 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 no. And so we want to look at some expressions of the generation of Adam. We're going to start off in Proverbs 30, verse 11, looking at some expressions of the generation of Adam. And here, I guess I'll just read these number of verses. "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." And here we have a listing of four generations. There is a generation. These are children who are the generation of Adam. They are the generation of Adam. There is a generation that curseth his father and doth not bless his mother. They are a disrespectful generation. Yes, they despise their parents. But the Bible says honor thy father and thy mother. And that's what the Bible calls us to do. The Bible calls us to respect them. You owe them some respect and thanks. But here's a generation that it says that it despiseth. That there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. They despise their parents. They despise the old ways. They despise the instruction their parents give. They reject it. And they choose to live their own way in rebellion against their parents. There is that generation that is not the way, that is not describing the generation of Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls us to respect our parents. The Bible calls us to respect the ways they have established. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? And ye shall find rest under your souls. But we said, we will not walk therein. The old paths of honesty, of respect for others. The old paths of mercy and kindness, of truth and equity, and of fear of God. They said, we will not walk therein. Well, there is that generation. There is that generation. We can be that generation where we despise, where we curse our father and our mother, and we choose to live the way we want to live. Can be that generation. That is the generation of Adam. For we despise tradition. There will always be traditions, established norms. We can't get away from them, even though some people think they can. They want to just throw all the traditions out and just live tradition free. Well, you're establishing another tradition. Don't you understand? Yes, we can destroy one, but we create another. And God has said, God has made us so that we can find stability as we continue to follow after paths that have been established for us. But we can be a revolutionary. Yes, we can be a revolutionary, but that's not the path that God is calling us to live. So be respectful of others. Respect your parents. Respect authority. Don't curse your father or your mother. We do not want to be a part of that generation. There is a generation that curseth their father and their mother. The next verse. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their defilement. I call this the self-righteous generation. The generation which says, quoting from Isaiah 65, it says, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Yes, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. It's easy for us to be that generation as well. It's a generation of Adam. You know, we each have plenty of shortcomings and faults. Sure, you are better than me in one or two areas, or maybe five or six areas, whatever, how many areas it is, but you are not better than everybody in all areas. You need other people to help you. You better humble your heart. And let others teach you, because you most surely shall fall. You are not that strong. You are not God. You're not that capable. You need the help of others. You need the help of God. Yes. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their own filthiness. We have our shortcomings. You are not better than others. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And so, yes, we have the self-righteous generation, and that believe in themselves and fail to see their need to humble their hearts before God and others. If only they could be the preacher, the school teacher, the parent. How much better life would be? What surprised me as a parent was, as the years went by, how I discovered how little I knew about parenting. All the things that I knew just slowly slipped away, and after a while I didn't know if I knew anything about parenting. You know? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't ever give advice to someone about parenting. That certainly has its time and place. And we want to help each other in all of that. But, as it says here, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their own filthiness. That is the generation of Adam. And it's a self-righteous generation that we do not want to be a part of. Yes, you read that description and say, Lord, let it not be me. Let it not be me. I do not want to be the generation that is pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their own filthiness. Let's go on to the next one. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. This is, of course, similar to the other one, but I'm going to call it the proud generation. Yes, they are lofty. How lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. You know, God has made us very capable. He has done a tremendous good job at creating us, but we are created. We are sustained by God. We are not able to save ourselves, and we are not capable of averting death. As capable as you are going to die. You are frail. You are very insufficient. I don't believe any one of you really hopes you can beat death. The odds aren't very good. Everyone else has succumbed. You've accepted that you will die as well. but yes, that is how incapable we are. That is how incapable we are. Oh, there is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. And so, yes, we are sustained by God. We are not able to save ourselves. We cannot avert death. And we are lofty in our eyes. And we have all the answers. No. We need to humble our hearts before God. We cannot walk around with lofty eyes and having all the answers. And no, we cannot do that. We should not do that. Isaiah, in Isaiah, he says simply thus, in Isaiah 2, verse 10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts is come, shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up. And he shall be brought low. We need to humble ourselves before our brethren. We need to humble ourselves before our God. God is entirely capable of bringing us down. And he shall. God alone shall be exalted in that day. And we want to be a part of those that are worshiping him and exalting him.
That's right.
That's the crew we want to be a part of. Not the ones who are resisting and saying, I will not surrender to you. Let me just do my own way. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace
unto the humble. Humility can be hard to step into, but practice it. Practice it. Are we going to be the generation of the lofty eyes? Are we? No. No. Let's go on to the next one. Verse 14. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. This is the generation of no compassion. Yes, there is the no compassion, the generation that seeks power. Yes, give me power. Give me authority. The generation that seeks control. The generation that seeks to exalt itself. The generation which crushes with no mercy. That is a generation of Adam. Then we see, as we look out over history, there are generations like that. And there are people like that. And we can be a person like that. A person of no mercy, no compassion. It's about me. It's not about you. As we seek power and dominion. That is the generation of Adam. There's one more generation of Adam I want to look at, and that's in Acts 2, verse 40. And this is the words of Peter, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Here he calls it an untoward generation, or we might say a perverse generation. Save yourselves from this perverse generation. It is the generation of Adam, and it has perverseness. It is untoward. He says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There is a way to save ourselves, but the question is, do you even want to be saved from this untoward generation? Or do you want to be able to be a part of the untoward generation? Do you want to experience the glitter of this untoward generation? Or do you want to identify with the generation of Jesus Christ? Or would you rather not? You choose which generation you want to be a part of. But Isaiah, God says through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 24, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, they have changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. And that is what, there is a generation that wants to do exactly that. They want to take the laws of God and they want to turn them all upside down, and they want to live free from the shackles. God doesn't bring shackles, but they want to live free from the shackles of God and just let themselves be exalted. And we are living in a generation like that also. They want to transgress the laws. They want to change the ordinance. They want to break the everlasting covenant. And somehow they think that it's going to work. Do you know what God says? Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against it is known as saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We are living in that generation. Let us break the bands that God has given. Let us cast away the cords that he has put in place. The psalmist says simply, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. They will not succeed, and he does not feel threatened by their threats. We live in a generation where truth is relative, where sexuality, there is no restraint. There is no need for marriage. Men can marry men. We can even decide our sexuality. A generation that rejects every cornerstone of God and every anchor of stable society. We're living in a generation, that kind of a generation,
where they are anti-Christ. They are against Christ. They are pro-human philosophy. They love Babylon, and they love the things of the world. They love those things, and they want to exalt in those things and find... Yeah, I think they want to find the freedom of those things. There is no freedom. There is no freedom there. God did not establish the world that way. Probably couldn't establish the world that way. But he did not establish the world that way. And it will not work. And that's why God says, don't try it. I already know the end of that road. And it's going to come. It's going to be ruin. It's going to be sorrow. It's going to be collapse. And you can choose to take that way if you want to. But it's not going to work. So don't. That's why I told you beforehand. So you could spare yourselves from that loss, that ruin. And that's why I told you. Let me read from 2 Timothy 3, the first several verses here. This know also, the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That is a description of the generation of Adam. Yes. That is a description of the generation of Adam. We can choose to be a part of that generation. We certainly can. And we can choose to be a part of the generation of Jesus Christ. Those are the two generations. We can choose to take the middle road. But there is none. But there is none. Take us the foxes, the little foxes. And so, let's decide. Peter said simply, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Which generation do we want to be a part of? The generation of Adam? How far down the road of sin do you want to go? It's just the shiny part, you say. Just the part where all the lights are. There is no shiny end anywhere on that road. God requires devotion. He does. God requires devotion. Do you want that path? Or do you want the shiny picture that the children of Adam offer? You choose your path. Let's look a little bit at the generation of Jesus Christ. The generation of Jesus Christ. And we'll start with 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which in time past had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's described as a chosen generation. Oh, such beautiful words. Such beautiful words. Chosen, chosen, chosen. In love we are chosen. We are chosen by God. We are chosen to glory. We are chosen to life. We are chosen to immortality. And so Peter, so Paul, there in Ephesians, he just bursts out and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Now you might say, what does that mean? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that sounds pretty distant and pretty far away. Well, some of those blessings are pretty distant and pretty far away, and they're coming. But we could read it this way, who hath blessed us with all blessings which result in going to heaven. Who hath blessed us with all blessings. Just take the spiritual out. Blessings are spiritual. Blessings from God are spiritual, no matter which form they appear to come in. Now, of course, God's blessings are spiritual. But God blesses us. That's the idea here. He has blessed us with all goodness, with all life. And it comes from heaven, and it ends up in heaven. And so Paul just can't, but he says, "Blessed be the God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And so when God was contemplating making the world, he sat down and he knew we were going to need redemption, and he already planned for that redemption, and he already chosen that we could be rescued. He already chosen that we could be adopted. He already chosen that we could experience an inheritance. He had already chosen that we could go to heaven. He had already chosen that we could experience the pleasures forevermore there at his right hand. He loved us and he wanted to do us good way back then, even before he made Adam. And he saw you. And he said, "I want him to be a part of the generation of Jesus Christ." And so I say the logical conclusion is to take up your cross and follow him. After the doings of the land of Egypt, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whether I will bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in the ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." He says, I don't want you to fall out to the traditions of Egypt. I don't want you to fall out to the traditions of Canaan. But I'm giving you traditions to follow. I'm giving you ordinances to follow. And oh, that you would love them, and that you would embrace them, and that you would give glory to my name. That's what I would like you to do. And what did they do? They looked over at the things of Canaan that the Canaanites were in, and they copied the things of Canaan and perished. We can make the same mistake. Which generation are we going to be a part of? The generation of Jesus Christ is a generation that is seeking God. I'm going to turn to Psalm 24. Verse 6 for this. "This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob." Selah. "This is the generation of them that seek him." That is the generation of Jesus Christ. They're the generation that has decided not to continue to walk in the generation of Adam. They're the generation that has gotten a glimpse of God and the goodness of God and the hope of God and the future of God, and they have decided that they are going to seek him. Seeking God is a very active profession. It is very active. You can't just seek God sitting on a couch doing nothing. You don't catch anything. You don't find anything. Those who want to experience God and the generation of Jesus Christ seek it. And it can't be hidden. And that's either the good part or the bad part. If you don't want people to know you're
you're seeking God, then that's embarrassing. But if you don't care if people know you're seeking God, well, it can't be hid. Do you care if people know that you are seeking God? That all those other things in this world you don't care about, but it's seeking God that you do? That you're that kind of a fanatic? Do you care if people know that? I hope not. I hope not. This is the generation of them that seek him. They're reading their Bibles. They are attending church. They are busy in service activities. They are ministering to the needs of souls every opportunity they can, as much as they can. And it's hard to hide. And God knows where their affection is. It's called the good ground, like we had in our devotional thought. You don't get good ground by just looking at it. You have to go out and you have to cultivate it. You have to plow it. You have to weed it. You have to fertilize it. You have to water it. And it takes care and nurturing and work and effort and seeking after some fruit. It does. And if you want to be a part of the generation of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to seek him. This is the generation of them that seek him. That seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Let's turn to another psalm, Psalm 112, verse 2, for another description of the generation of Jesus Christ. This is called, I call it the upright generation. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. God saw Noah, and he said, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I've seen you, and you are righteous in this generation. He was upright. Noah was upright. He refused to be corrupted by the generation of Adam that was all around him. They were busy doing Adamic things. They were so busy. They were fighting their war. They were doing sin. They were... Noah continued to follow after God and live uprightly. Upright. Honest. Pure. Not able to be compromised. Noah was part of the upright generation. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Upright. Is it? Our goal, our heart, upright, honest, noble, pure. And one more, when we think of the generation of Jesus Christ, and I'm getting this from Isaiah 51, verse 8. The verse reads like this, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. The generation of Jesus Christ is eternal. It's eternal. The generation of Adam will perish in destruction, but the generation of Jesus Christ is eternal. How great, in Daniel says, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion from generation to generation. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is a perpetual generation. It continues on and on. And so, yes, this morning we ask you, which generation are you going to be a part of? I know most of you can't see this very well. And I was incapable of making it big, so anyway. But that is a picture of of the statue in front of the United Nations building right now. It is that it looks like something right out of Revelation. It looks kind of like the jaguar, which has kind of like the head of a lion, and its feet are not like any particular animal, and it has wings like an eagle, and it's huge. And they put it there and said it's the symbol of peace and security for the world. That's not my symbol of peace and security. But there is a generation that is seeking for peace and security elsewhere than God. It is strikingly similar to the description of the beast in Revelation 13, but not entirely. It's not that a picture of that beast. Someday, the generation of Jesus Christ and the generation of Adam will be sifted out, and one kingdom will be over here, and the other kingdom will be over there. And you will be a part of one or the other. And today is your day to choose your kingdom. If we follow the kingdom of Jesus Christ and are devoted to Him, humbly serve Him in all of our shortcomings and all of our failings, but humbly serve Him, He embraces us and He accepts us and He will give us honor. If we follow after the kingdom of the generation of Adam, the glitter and the lights will disappear, and after a while, it'll be only darkness. The generation of Adam, disrespectful, self-righteous, proud, no compassion, untoward generation, the generation of Jesus Christ, chosen, seeking God, upright, eternal. Let's kneel for prayer.